Hello there, welcome along to the Sweet Spot. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer taking you through this week's two golf tournaments and also looking back on a triumphant week for Steve where Antoine Rosner got the business done in Qatar. It wasn't quite so good for our tips in America, but it was a good performance by Justin Thomas to roar back to victory in the Players' Championship. We'll reflect on the weekend and then look ahead to this week. First of all, Steve, what the dickens is that behind you?
Oh, that is Tiger Woods shushing, which is another gift from the famous Joff, John Owen from Formby. We've got the vibe of wanting less noise in the world, haven't we? We suggested that on the podcast, too many people talking too much. And there's Tiger telling me to shut up.
Oh, wow. It's lovely, that, isn't it? Wow,
spectacular, what a nice gift. Yeah, so it's a bit so big, I can't find anywhere to fit it in at the moment. It might stay there for a while.
That's magnificent. Anyway, how are you, more importantly? That was a terrific win with Antoine Rosner, wasn't it? That must have lifted your spirits no end.
Oh, absolutely. No, it was delightful. I wanted to get a 60-foot putt in the hole for the win. I mean, that doesn't happen very often. I mean, it was a real grind for a long time on Sunday. He had, nine consecutive pars before that birdie putt? He left it late. And I thought the three putt was probably more likely than the one putt. When it rattled the hole and went in, I know it wasn't officially over at that point, but it felt over. And then
do a mime of what you did. Go on. Can you reenact it?
A jig. I can't really jig. I might. My headphones might come off. I did a jig. Yeah, I did a jig for about 5 minutes, and then when Mr. Ficart and Mr. Boulard missed their putts, because they had putts on the 17th, didn't they? To keep it alive, and they both missed short birdie putts, and then the jig just continued from there. Yeah, it was a big relief there.
Fantastic. Yeah, marvellous.
He was on the wrong side of the draw, wasn't he, in the first 2 days? He was out in the Friday afternoon winds and got tailed off and then battled back. I mean, he fully deserved that. And obviously, it was a fine margin at the end. But I've been jigging ever since, actually. I'm buzzing with that. I love Antoine Rosner.
Oh, good. I'm delighted. 22-1 headline winner. That's the stuff to give him, isn't it? It wasn't quite, I don't want to take the gloss off it straight away, but it wasn't quite as plain sailing in America. Matsuyama missed the cut. DJ had a bad week, didn't he? And Cameron Smith he got into the fringes of it, didn't he? He was almost in the top 10 if you shopped around, but it didn't quite happen, did it? But at the business end, what a week for Lee Westwood again. Almost got it done, didn't he? But just got pipped by Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas brought his... I hate people... Do you know what I hate? There's a new golfing expression. His best stuff. Everyone says that. And I was about to say Thomas brought his best stuff, but he played his best golf, didn't he?
Yeah. A lot of people like to bring the stuff in. This is the week that everyone goes on about the black stuff, isn't it? When everyone's at Cheltenham drinking all their Guinness. I'm not a big fan of calling it the black stuff, and I'm not a big fan of calling it the best stuff, but he certainly brought his best stuff with the ball striking, didn't he? He found 17 greens of regulation on Sunday, and he was just very patient. He was missing a lot of putts. I mean, both tournaments, you talk about Rosner getting tailed off, Justin Thomas was one over par through 27 holes of that tournament. Yeah, these are marathons, aren't they, golf tournaments? And they're certainly not sprints. And I was very downbeat on Friday night at the halfway stage of the Qatar Masters. And, Justin Thomas backers would have been downbeat at the halfway stage of the Players' Championship, but came roaring through. He had a strong finish to round two, Saturday 64. And then, the ball striking performance on Sunday was awesome. But then he did almost ruin it all. He shows you the fine margins again. That drop in the 18th hole, that bounces left, which is quite conceivable. It bounces in, and then the workshop wonder might pinch the title from him. So, if he double bogeyed the last, Lee Westwood would have, might have had the victory that a lot of us were hoping he would get. A really plucky performance again from Westwood, wouldn't he? Two runner-up finishes. He's been beaten by top-class players. And he just said he felt his legs weren't really there on Sunday. He felt the pace of it all. He lost his swing. He was two over par through eight holes. And rallied quite well in the middle of the round. Lots of good pressure putting. The three putt on 17 was the killer, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. The first putt didn't get anywhere near the hole, did it? That was
well,
very it was,
he left himself in a really, really horrible position. I mean, the tee shot was the crime. You had Paul McGinley. I know you're a huge Paul McGinley fan. You had Paul McGinley in the commentary box there saying, oh, he's only one shot behind. He doesn't need to push it. There's only two holes left. And the 18th is the hardest hole. It's so hard to make birdies on the 18th. He had to go at that flag. You saw Brian Harman go at the flag. Brian Harman birdied the 17th, going straight at the flag. Westwood needed to do that. He played it, you know, tugged it a bit, played it a bit safe, and then three-putted from a really difficult spot. Yeah, disappointing.
Oh, well. Did anyone come onto your thoughts in either a very positive or a negative way? Is there any players you thought, Ryan, I better start taking them seriously, or conversely, they're off the list?
The aforementioned Brian Harman, I thought, was a really plucky effort. I mean, he was in contention for a long way, and he never faltered. I mean, the tee shot at 17 was fantastic, really gutsy birdie. And then on 18, he was straight over the flag with his approach, just went a bit long. But, you know, Harman's been off my radar for a while and came back at that point, so I was impressed with him. And Victor Perez, we must mention Victor Perez, great debut effort that to you know, scrape into the weekend, just made the cut and then finished ninth, finishing a share of ninth. You know, lots of extra Cheltenham booty for JP Fitzgerald there, his caddy. He'd be pleased with that.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to this week then, Steve. Two tournaments. We've got the Kenya, I think it's the Kenya Open, isn't it? But we'll start with the Honda Classic.
The magical Kenya Open.
The magical Kenya Open, of course.
Yes, yeah, it's the magical Kenya Open.
Is that sponsored by a company called Magical, or is it just like the Kenya Tourist Board trying to, you know, like the way they say stunning HD, don't they? Or whatever?
That's it, yeah. They want you to go to Kenya for your holidays, so they're telling you how magical it is.
Okay.
Hopefully that'll lure you in.
Yeah, it's on. I'll add it to the potential list. But we'll start with the Honda Classic. With the US Tour stays in Florida. A lot of the real big names have had the week off. Let's have a quick squint at the betting to get a feel for what the field's like. Daniel Berger heads the market around about 11-1, as we always say on the show. Shop around. There may be better out there. Sun Jae-in, there's never a week off for him. He's 14s. Joachim Niemann is 18s. The Worksop Wonder is back again for more. You'd think he might have put his feet up after those two big paychecks. He's 22-1. Shane Lowry, 25s. And then it's 28-1 bar. So, decent enough field. Very interesting, Steve. How many selections have you got?
I got three.
All right. Continuing with your less is more approach this year.
We got three in this one. We got five in the other. So,
in
Kenya, I prefer the Kenya event, but we got three in this one.
And if is Honda? Go on. Oh, sorry. Go on.
Well, no. We've got the champion course at PGA National, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. 7,125 yards, par 70. One of the toughest layouts on the PGA Tour. Just a relentless grind of water hazards, bunkers, juicy rough. It's been the venue since 2007. Six under par or worse has been enough to top the leaderboard four times. So, yeah, this is tougher than Bay Hill, tougher than Sawgrass. And you mentioned the Worksop Wonder. Is he going to want this grind, you know, after 2 weeks in the heat of battle there? You know, he's 47 years of old. And, you know, he on Monday, he went to Augusta to play a practice round at Augusta with his son. His son had never played Augusta. So he had a big lads trip, as he called it, lads and dads trip to Augusta. I see him coming back to the Honda where he's got a really fantastic record and just being, you know, having nothing left in the tank. The Worksop Wonder, you know, is off my list this week, I'm afraid.
Okay, who's your headline selection?
Yeah, I really fancy Sung Jae-in for this one. Sung Jae-in is my headline selection. I think he's got a four-round performance in him this week. The last few weeks, he's been having three-round performances, and one bad round a week has been costing him. It happened last week at Sawgrass, a Saturday 77. On Sunday, he was superb. He closed with a 66. Nobody bettered that score on Sunday. And him is even putting well. He was seventh in the putting stats last week. When Sung Jae-in starts putting well, the rest of the world's in big trouble. I think he's peaking for this Honda Classic title defence. And I think he's the man. 14-1 is a big old price when you consider that Daniel Berger, who is the favourite, may not even go to post. He had an MRI scan on Monday with a rib problem. Played all right at Sawgrass last week, but he was battling a rib injury all week. MRI scan on Monday. Obviously, if the results come back worrying from that, because rib injuries can take ages to heal, you can't be taking chances with them, then he'll probably withdraw, and then Sung Jae-in will be a shorter price. But the early 14-1 is well worth taking. You said last week you forgot that Cameron Smith finished second in the Masters. Sung Jae-in was tied second in the Masters. Amazing debut performance. Had an amazing debut performance in the Century Tournament Champions, finished fifth. This week he's going to a course he knows really well. He's got a fantastic record in Florida. He loves putting on Bermuda grass green. So, yeah, I couldn't get away from Sung Jae-in this week. He's the best bet by far in this tournament, I'd say.
Okay, some lovely bird song in the background, Steve.
Are you picking up some bird song, are you? Yeah. The sun's just come out. I think there's a couple of blue tits out there. Robin Redbreast. Sorry, it's turning a bit sordid, isn't it?
I'm mortified that I sniggered like that, but anyway, sorry.
Tits it and breasts. We're all still little boys, aren't we? Go on.
Who are you going for apart from Sungjae Im?
I've got two each way steals at big prices. They're both 90-1. My next best is Michael Thompson, who is another former Honda champion, like Sungjae Im. Michael Thompson won at this course in 2013. PGA Tour breakthrough when ranked outside the world's top 100. His form figures coming into that event were miscut 78, miscut, miscut. Nobody in the world backed him that week, but he swaggered into Palm Beach Gardens to win by two shots. So he loves this course. He got his second PGA Tour win in the 3M Open last summer. So I think a good chance of completing the hat-trick this week. He was fifth in the American Express in January, four solid rounds at Sawgrass last week, happier than ever in his family life. It's very important. You know, we play golf between our ears. He's adopted his second child last year. Very steady player. So Michael Thompson, next best. And then the third and finale selection is Richie Rawenski. Not an easy one to say when you've had a few tinctures. Richie Rawenski finished fourth in the Arnold Palmer Invitational the week before last. And then he opened with an 80 at Sawgrass. But, you know, these things can happen at Sawgrass. He had water woe at the 17th and the 18th. He was back in the groove the following day. Four birdies in a 71 on Friday. Missed the cut. So I think Rawenski is in good nick. He's a solid all-rounder. Well-equipped for PGA National. He lives 10 minutes from this course. Lives in Jupiter, Florida. Finished 17th there last year. Made his PGA Tour breakthrough last August in the Barracuda Championship. So his career's taken an upshoot. So, big each-way runner, Richie Wojtycki.
Okay, jolly good. Let's turn our attention. Oh, no, hang on a sec. We'll just do that sadistic thing where we ask who the last player off the list was.
We didn't have many on the list. I mean, Daniel Berger was on the list until we found out about his rib injury. And then Russell Henley's a tough one to get away from, another former Honda champion. He's been playing solidly. So, yeah, I'd say, Russell Henley was the last off the list, yeah.
Okay, let's hope he doesn't come back to haunt you. Let's turn our attention to, what's it called? The Magical Kenya Open, you say?
Magical Kenya Open. Yeah, I have been to Kenya.
Have you? Oh, well, that was only a stop-off, wasn't it? Was that when you were on your way to Kevin Pullin's wedding?
I was on my way to Kevin Pullin's wedding. And, Kenya was one of the biggest countries I went through. I went through loads of different countries and... Yeah, I just hung around Kenya Airport for about 24 hours, I think it was. Yeah, it was a long, long session, just sleeping on my luggage. But that's not going to help you get the winner, is it? So I'm sorry.
Not really, no. No.
I don't know much about the country, but the airport was nice.
Okay, and what about the course? What sort of layout is it?
We have got you at Carron. We're off to visit Carron. Carron Country Club.
Carron Country Club. That sounds like a perfect venue during COVID, doesn't it, to stage a golf tournament? Carron's being all sort of, there'll be antiseptic and, you know, all that kind of stuff everywhere, won't there? Wow.
Yeah, Carron's going to look after us this week. And Carron has had a yard taken off her yardage since the last time we went to Carron, which was 2019. She was 6,922 yards. We've gone back 2 years later and she's 6,921 yards. So I've no idea where Carron lost her yard, but I suppose we've all had a difficult couple of years. But yes, a very short, fiddly, firm track, only three par fives, lots of short par fours. 16 under par was the winning score last year. And we've got loads of course form to go through because although we only have one European Tour event there, 2019, we've had loads of Challenge Tour events there, 2004 to 2008, 2013 to 2016. The Kenya Open was a Challenge Tour event.
Okay, should we have a look at the betting then? We've got Kurt Kitayama. Favourite at 18-1. That gives you an idea of what a wide open contest this one's going to be. Guido Migliozzi, who played very well, just got touched off on Sunday. He's 22s. Matthias Schwab, 25s. Kali Samuja, 25s. Gorgeous George Kotsis, 28s. Aaron Rye, 28s. 30s bar. So not the biggest names in world golf, but a very, very interesting tournament, Steve. And you say you've got five selections. Who's the headline name?
The headline name is Garrick Higo, who is a rising star of the circuit, 21-year-old South African, playing in his home continent, comfortable on the Kikuyu grass. He's already won twice on the Sunshine Tour. He's already got off the mark on the European Tour. He won the Open de Portugal last September, and he's had one previous spin at Carron, and it resulted in fifth place in the Carron Masters. We didn't mention that. There was a Sunshine Tour. There's a Sunshine Tour event played here called the Carron Masters. He was fifth in the 2019 Carron Masters when he was outside the world's top 400. So he returns there, much better player. He's a strong ball striker. And his last couple of spins have been really encouraging. He was 11th in the Kit Kat Group Pro-Am, another fantastic Sunshine Tour event. And then he was 19th in the Qatar Masters last week. So I like the way that Higo, I think Higo's peaking for Karen.
Okay, jolly good. And supplementing him, who have you got?
Next best is Aaron Rye. We backed last week. He made a very sloppy start last week in Qatar. Played better in round two, but he was out in that strong Friday afternoon wind that I mentioned Rosner had to battle. Rye ended up missing the cut. We can forgive him that. His previous outing was so impressive. He was 18th in the WGC in Florida. And Karen is a mouth-watering assignment for Rye. You know, a tight, fiddly track made for accurate operators like him. And he won the Kenya Open in 2017 at a different track. His mother is Kenyan. It was quite an emotional win, that 2017 Kenya win. His mother rushed onto the green. This event means a lot to Aaron Rye. Three-time Challenge Tour champion, two-time European Tour champion. I think he goes extremely well.
Okay, and the other three are?
The other three, Chris Paisley, lovely burst of form from what I think is an underachiever. He's got a great swing, a superb putting touch. He should have won more. He's only won once, the South African Open, though. So the win came in Africa, 2018 South African Open. He fended off Brandon Grace to win that. And in the last couple of months, he's really picked up his game. He had a health scare at the start of the year. He had some skin cancer, had an operation on his skin cancer. He's got it all sorted. And he's responded to that really well. I don't know whether he's relaxed and he's enjoying his golf more. I don't know. But for whatever reason, he's playing well again. Seventh place in Abu Dhabi, 21st in a high-class Saudi International, and seventh in Qatar on Sunday. So I think Chris Paisley's riding the crest of a wave. And then I can't go into battle without Guido Migliozzi, the aforementioned Guido Migliozzi. I thought long and hard about taking him out. I don't like having five selections. He's been nibbled early in the betting, opened up at 28-1, down to 22-1. But there's good reasons why he's so popular. He's the defending champion, the only player to win a European Tour event on Caron. He closed with a 65 for second place on Sunday in Qatar. His form has been steadily improving this year. And he seems to like short courses where he can take irons off the tee. At Valderrama last year, he finished sixth. You know, he won this at Caron last year, taking a few irons off the tee. So, yeah, I think Migliozzi must go well. And the final one at the much bigger price is Will Besseling, 35-year-old Dutchman. He's won on the Challenge Tour, not made his European Tour breakthrough yet, but he won the 2017 Caron Masters. So he's a course winner. Played well last season. He had a very long break after the DP World Tour Championship. Came back to action last week. Decent effort, 47th in Qatar.
Okay, I'll give you a quick rough price guide there. Migliozzi, as we said, is about 22s. Paisley's 30. Rye's 28. Who else have we got? Higo's 40s, isn't he? Have you seen any bigger than that anywhere?
A bit of 45-1. 45
oh, lovely. Okay. And Will Besseling, I can see, is 66. So, again, shop around for the best each ways and the best win. Excellent. Okay, Steve, should we reiterate the selections for anyone who might not have had the chance to scribble them all down? Yes. Honda Open.
Sung Jae Im, Michael Thompson, Richie Wawenski.
And Kenya Open.
Garrick Higo, Aaron Rye, Chris Paisley, Guido Migliozzi, and Will Besseling with one L.
Lovely stuff. What, the 1L?
Yeah, Will with 1L. Yeah, really? Cool, isn't it? The cool, Dutch are crazy, zany characters, aren't they?
They certainly are. Are you remote? Have you got, since we last spoke, have you got remotely excited about the Cheltenham Festival?
Yeah, as the years go by, you get lots of tips from various different people, and you know, some of them good, some of them bad. But I'm told Roxana can't finish outside the top three in the Mayor's Hurdle, whatever that is. So,
I think that's true, yeah. I think that is true.
I've been told to have a big each way bet on that, but then, you know, he was sort of 3-1, he or she. What's a mare? Is that a lady?
Ladies.
So I was told to have an each way bet on that, but then, yeah, 3-1, 50 odds.
It's not very exciting, is it?
No, it's not. So I don't know. I may do that. I may not do that.
Stick to golf, mate.
It's a shame we're not there, isn't it? Well, I mean, I've only been once, but it's a shame we're not there. We must be missing it.
I am, yeah. It's the first one since, I think, 2006 I haven't been to, so...
What are they going to do about the Cheltenham Roar? Are they going to
actually going to play one over the loudspeaker?
They're going to play one,
I think so, yeah. Or I certainly know ITV are going to sort of superimpose one over the start, yeah. So it'll feel authentic.
You have to spook the horses, do you? Absolutely. Imagine if they did that right at the starting traps.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. Carnage. Wouldn't be good. What have we got next week, Steve?
We've got a very strange week next week. We've got an event in Kenya starting on the Tuesday. Goodness knows how punters are going to... You know, there's going to be a mad scramble for... the odds can... Yeah, the event finishes Sunday. And then the event starts Tuesday. So
Kenya starts Tuesday.
There's another event in Kenya. Yeah, the
Kenyan. When are we going to do Savannah, the sweet? We'll have to do Savannah. The sweet spot on Monday, then, won't we?
Well, you'll have to discuss this with the powers that be, because I'm having the week off.
Oh no, you can't do that.
I've got to. I don't know how you're going to go with that one, but then you've got the match play next week as well, which is a really difficult tournament. It starts on Wednesday.
Dell.
Yeah, the Dell Technologies match play.
Oh, that sounds like a right to do.
Really tricky one. Yeah, the best betting tournament next week is the Corrales Punta Cana Championship. We've got most chance of getting a winner in that one.
So you're off next week. Where are you going?
I am. I don't fancy next week.
What are you going to do? Just hang out?
Rest, yeah. Rest my weary bones. Got a lot of injuries.
Okay, matey. All right, well, listen, well done. Hopefully this week you can follow up on last week's excellent win. Good luck with your tips. Thank you very much indeed for tuning into the Sweet Spot. I'm back next week, even if Steve isn't. I'm not quite sure what day it's going to be, but hopefully you can join us for that. Good luck with your bets this week. Don't forget, whether you're betting on the Gulf or Cheltenham, always bet safely.